This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is another edition of Turnbuckle Trash, Thanksgiving weekend of 2018. Coming up on today's trash, we were scheduled to have Chris with us, Chris on the mat, but he is not feeling well today, so you'll have to put up with me for a little bit, talking about the Survivor Series and NXT War Games. And let me just put it this way, War Games. Oh, yeah, final two matches of Survivor Series. Final two. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll have some news. And Zane's going to join us. We're going to talk about heels in professional wrestling and what makes a good heel and some of the other things going on today. It's Turnbuckle Trash. Let's talk a little bit of what happened in Survivor Series. It was a pretty good pay-per-view overall. There were some things that just kind of make you kind of go, and then other things you say, hey, that was pretty cool. Well, they did have in the pre-show, they had the Tag Team Survivor Series elimination match. On the SmackDown side, it was the Usos, New Day, Sanity, the Good Brothers, and the Colognes. And they did defeat the Revival, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, Lucha, House Party, The Ascension, and the B-Team. However, if the show went on and went on to Raw, you would never know that SmackDown won one of the Survivor Series matches because the Raw team was continuously saying it was a clean sweep. Thus is the world of professional wrestling. The New Day comes in the ring in the pre-show with blue pancakes and do some pretty good mic work, even though they were not the captains of the team. The Usos were. The finish for the show came with Jimmy Uso honoring Roman Reigns during his cousin's battle with leukemia by cocking his fist in midair en route to a splash on Dawson for the pin. And yes, SmackDown did win one match in Survivor Series. Get on to the main show. The women's elimination match had Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Mickie James, and Tamina Snuka for Raw of Asuka, Carmella, Naomi, and Sonya Deville. Pretty nice thing that happened throughout the entire match. Now, you know of the accident that occurred in the ring on Monday Night Raw where Becky Lynn actually did have some facial bones that were broken during that melee on Raw, and she was said, no, you're not going to compete tonight medically. Well, the WWE takes something that is very negative and turns it into a positive because every time Nia Jax came into the ring, who was the one who hit Becky Lynch, you could hear the announcing staff call her hashtag facebreaker, and that continued on into Monday Night Raw. So they're going to kind of take Nia, who's got this heel turn going, and start calling her the facebreaker over the next couple of weeks. I think that's a great way to take what was really a negative and turn it into a positive. It was a fun little match between the elimination match for the Survivor Series. It was Nia Jax who did a little bit of nasty on her own teammate. Sasha Banks was getting ready to defeat Asuka, and then she went in and made sure that Asuka won. Now remember, Asuka's on the other team, and then Sasha Banks is eliminated. And then here comes Nia Jax with a leg drop after leg drop after leg drop to defeat Asuka to win for Team Raw. The mid-card championship match had Seth Rollins taking on Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, Zane and I will discuss this match a little bit more in the next segment of this Turnbuckle Trash. But I thought it was a very good psychological match, and also for two competitors who hadn't had any kind of heat build up between the two of them, I thought it was really good. As Seth Rollins comes away, he gets the stomp for a 1-2-3 and the win. Now, I know that WWE, Vince McMahon, is not a big fan of tag teams. But man, what a waste. When they did the tag team champions against the tag team champions, you had the great The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus, representing SmackDown. And you had the newer team out there that is the AOP. And they did okay. It was a decent match. There was a little scurry in the ring, outside of the ring itself, when none other than Enzo Amore, the former WWE star who got into a lot of trouble this past year, he emerged from the crowd and stood up saying, "How you doing?" like he always did, trying to get a little publicity for himself. He was eventually kicked out of the arena. Enzo, get a life. Okay. Towards the end of the match, you had the AOP with Drake Maverick, who is the manager of the AOP, the Authors of Pain, and also the general manager of 205 Live, playing a heel as a heel manager. And he goes around and he takes Rezar's leg and puts it on the bottom rope to avoid a pinfall from Sheamus. And then it was Cesaro giving chase outside of the ring. And who else is there but the Big Show, who picks up Drake Maverick. Now, let's just say Drake is probably about 5'4", Big Show 7'1", huge. And he puts Drake Maverick into a chokehold and lifts him up. And Drake reaches down towards his belt line to squeeze something that's so obvious. He's squeezing something in his belt line to make it like he urinated himself. It wasn't a very good spot. The crowd didn't like it. I got a lot of flack on social media. If you're going to do something like that, make it look like it really did. Just a little trickle wasn't effective on TV. But it was the guys from the AOP eventually winning the match against the tag team champions from SmackDown and Sheamus and Cesaro. And then what I thought was the match of the night completely surprised me as a fan of professional wrestling. It was the Cruiserweight Championship match from 205 Live with Buddy Murphy against Mustafa Ali. Buddy Murphy from Australia won it at that event in Australia. And he was having his first, I think his first defense against Mustafa Ali. And those two guys tore it up. A great display of storytelling, a great display of athleticism. And it was a great, great fun match to watch. Now, I know a lot of people out there aren't real fans of 205 Live, and I've been one. But this match was the match of the night. Up next, the men's elimination match. Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley. They win as they defeat The Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, and Samoa Joe. One of the real travesties of the entire night was Samoa Joe was not allowed to compete very long. He was taken out very, very early in the Survivor Series match, and what a shame that was. Shame on you, WWE. Let Samoa Joe become the star he really can be. I got angry when I was watching that. But the Team Raw battled each other throughout the match. There were spots where they would just absolutely destroy each other. But eventually, you did have Shane McMahon do a corner post to the ring announcer table on top of Braun Strowman that took Strowman out of the match for a while. And then The Miz kept on egging on Shane McMahon to do all these wild spots, like the coast-to-coast that he made so popular. And he gets on top of the ring rope and does a coast-to-coast, and it is successful. Then a few minutes later, because it took so much out of him and Shane is just valiantly wobbling around the ring, they get an advantage. And again, it looks like Shane McMahon is going to be talked into doing a coast-to-coast. And who comes off the floor? Braun Strowman to swat him out of the air. Okay, I can get into that. But I just kind of, you know. But it was a win by the Raw Raw Elimination Tag Match, as Braun Strowman was the one who got most of the people out of there. So you had Strowman, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre, the last three in the ring for the Raw champions there. Then one of the matches of the night, the surprising match of the night for me, the real surprise, was I enjoyed just the wrestling match itself of Ronda Rousey against Charlotte Flair. Now, Charlotte Flair stepping in for Becky Lynch. Of course, we've told you Becky was legitimately injured on a Raw segment, and she was not able to compete. She has an orbital bone fracture, possibly a nose fracture, and evidently she did have a pretty nasty concussion. So the match itself went for about 10 to 15 minutes, and it was very fun. There was high spots for both competitors. And then Charlotte Flair gets thrown out of the ring, and she's holding on to her arm after Ronda has tried to put that arm breaker on her a couple of times. Ronda comes out of the ring, rushes Charlotte Flair, who has grabbed a kendo stick, and absolutely wears her out. She beat... hats off to Ronda Rousey for taking this kind of beating with a kendo stick and a chair. She had welts all over her body, cuts on her legs. She had a cut above her ear, all from that kendo stick. And she took it like a champ, and my hat's off to her for that. So Charlotte Flair was disqualified, so Ronda Rousey did win that match also. Then it was a battle of the heavyweight champions as... Lesnar and Daniel Bryan, who has found the joys of kicking people in the Wachobies. He is now the WWE SmackDown champion. This match completely started off as a squash match, and I was starting to get angry because it was a squash match. And I have complained so much over the past year about these matches with Brock Lesnar and him squashing his opponent, and it just doesn't need to be that way. Well, there came a point where Brock had Daniel, and Daniel's leg accidentally went out and kicked the official, and the official was down. So what does Daniel do? He does his Wachobee impression and just waylays Brock Lesnar right in here's little Brock's.
With all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
And then Daniel Bryan kind of took control of most of the match. He put the yes lock on it, the LaBelle lock, and he almost had Brock Lesnar tapping out. Brock's face was turning crimson red. He was really selling it very well. But eventually another F5, and it was Brock Lesnar beating Daniel Bryan. I thought that was kind of fun the way it ended. I'll just go ahead and say it right now. Not a fan of Brock Lesnar, so I was never so glad to see somebody get kicked in his Wachobees as I was as seeing Daniel Bryan doing the kickin' and Brock Lesnar being the kicky.
With all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
So that was Survivor Series. That was a lot of fun, and the last two matches especially, but I'd say the match of the night was the 205. The championship match for the cruiserweight, that was the complete match of the night for Survivor Series. Quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about NXT TakeOver. Once again, great show for the NXT guys. That's next on Turnbuckle Trash.
With all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
That move on his feet, the Stray Cat. Is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll have some wrestling news from around the world of professional wrestling, and joining us later on will be Zane O'Mac. Zane will join us. We'll talk about heels in professional wrestling and some other things and have some fun with that on Turnbuckle Trash. NXT TakeOver in Los Angeles once again It was War Games. This is the second year they've done War Games. This is a match that started in the WCW days where they would actually have two rings set up and then put a cage over both rings. But the caveat was that the teammates, there would be two people start off, and then a third person would join into the melee for several minutes, so one team would have an advantage before everybody else came in. The actual War Games would begin when all team members from all from both teams were allowed into the ring. And it was a fun evening of professional wrestling. They started off with kind of an impromptu match as Matt Riddle, who is a newer star, recently signed to NXT, a big star on the independent circuit. They were supposed to have a match with him and Cassius Ohno next week on NXT TV, but they went ahead and decided to do it on this particular show at the beginning. They kind of worked it over a little bit, and it was basically a squash match as Matt Riddle had one kick and he got the pinfall. And it'd be interesting to see what happens on the next edition of NXT when they have that. It was Shayna Baszler defeating Kairi Sane to retain the NXT Women's Championship, the fifth match in this series for Blazer and Sane, and it was a good one. Two out of three fall match, and it went on great. The first fall went to the champion Shayna Baszler, as her horsewomen Jasmine Duke and Marina Shafir they got involved with the match, and that put it up 1-0. And then Kairi Sane gets the second fall, and she had help from her people from the back also. But it did come up with a win for Shayna Baszler. She continues as the NXT Women's title holder. It was a really fun match, but I think getting the horsewomen involved a little bit more might be setting up something in the future for a main roster call-up and Ronda Rousey joining them to become a heel faction in the main roster of Monday Night Raw. And then, oh boy, what a grudge match this was. Aleister Black taking on Johnny Gargano, and it was an NXT classic. Now, you remember Gargano was the man who got Aleister Black and got him injured, made him miss his match at the last NXT TakeOver. And Gargano has now kind of got this little heel change going on with him. But boy, his ring gear sure looked cool the other night. It comes out, and if you watch NXT, he's got a unique logo, almost like a half smiley face with one eye that is straight, and then the other eye has an X on it. And then this time he comes out, he has that, but with the X, there's like a bullet shot, and then the rest of the face is kind of painted like the Punisher logo from Marvel Comics. It really looked cool. Good idea. Great concept for whoever came that up. It was a lot of fun to see that. And it was a great match between the two. These are two very good professional wrestlers that know how to tell a story. It came out that Aleister Black did finally win the match, but Johnny Wrestling's foray into, dare I say, the dark side of professional wrestling continues, and we're going to have some fun with this over the next couple of weeks. Then it was the big championship match with Tommaso Ciampa defeating the Velveteen Dream by a pinfall to retain the NXT championship. And let me just put down what my notes said. Wow, wow, wow. Velveteen Dream comes out with an homage to Hollywood Hulk Hogan with all the robes and everything. It looked good. And then during the match, he did his hip wiggle, which is an homage to Ravishing Rick Rude. And he also did the figure four leg lock, of course. Woo! We know Ric Flair is the one that does that. That was so much fun to see the ring psychology of that, and also the great heel work by Tommaso Ciampa. Later on, we're going to be talking about Ciampa in our heel segment with Zane. And I say Tommaso Ciampa, one of the best heels in the business. But Tommaso Ciampa is still the best of NXT. There was even a moment where the announcing staff got into it a little bit, and they said this.
By Ciampa, NXT champion with the cover.
Yes, they said, holy bleep.
Holy bleep!
Yes, holy bleep.
Holy bleep!
Sounds like something I would do when I'm trying not to cuss. So, but DeMott's the champ, is still the champ, as the Velveteen Dream. Man, he has got such an upside and such a future in professional wrestling. The War Games match itself was the final match of the night for TakeOver. Hanson and Rowe, the War Raiders, known as War Machine in ROH, were part of six former ROH competitors in the ring at this time. You had the Undisputed Era. They're all former ROH competitors. And the War Raiders used to be War Machine in ROH. And they put on a show. They were joined by Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight, and Ricochet. So six out of the eight were out there were former ROH competitors just 2 years ago, and they tore it up. As we stated, that they started the match with two competitors, and then they would add one. There would be an advantage for a while, and then not an advantage. But when they got all eight competitors into the ring, I was absolutely amazed at some of the things that took place. Hanson of the War Raiders has got to be 340, 350 pounds, was doing handstands and more. It was incredible to watch. Weapons were brought in. There were tables, there were chairs, there were garbage cans, and more all brought into it. Now, reports indicate Bobby Fish might have re-injured his knee. He just barely came back from a knee injury, but he was taken out of the ring by his by the NXT officials and helped back to the back of the match after the War Games was over. Well, the winners were Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders, as Dunne, the Bruiserweight and the European title holder, and Ricochet both pinned Adam Cole. Bye-bye. So they're getting ready to start a little bit of war with Ricochet and Pete Dunne in the near future. They've already had a couple of matches and a couple of stare downs, but right now they're saying, you know, just they have crazy respect for each other, but that will turn. Guaranteed. So coming up in just a second here, we'll go over some of the news from some of the other professional wrestling out there. And then coming up right after that, we'll be joined by Zane. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Holy bleep!
Is a dangerous man.
One dangerous, dangerous dude.
But I was bad to the bone.
A plan is no plan.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a...
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
If you're a longtime professional wrestling fan, you know the name Brian Pillman. Brian was such a great performer, and of course he had his demons, and that led to his demise. But his son, Brian Pillman Jr., is now starting to break into the wrestling industry. He is teaming up with Teddy Hart and Davey Boyd Smith. Now, Teddy Hart, Hart of the Hart Foundation, Davey Boyd Smith, Hart Foundation, all three have joined together and call themselves the New Age Hart Foundation. And there was even a time Brian Pillman was a member of the Hart Foundation back before he passed away. So be looking for them on a promotion called Major League Wrestling. Brian Pillman Jr. back into the game now. A couple of weeks ago, the internet went crazy when it was brought out that Stone Cold Steve Austin was giving up beer.
Holy bleep!
Yes, no more Steve Weisers. However, a little bit more information is coming out. Stone Cold said in a podcast that he will not swear off alcohol forever, and he said, why in the holy bleep, why not? He says he enjoys alcohol and he does it responsibly as an adult. He clarified that his recent sobriety has become part of trying to get in better shape. He's also doing the DDP yoga, trying to get himself in a better physical shape. Cody Rhodes. Cody has been injured in a strange injury. He was in an ROH event, and he's running around the ring like he's going to be throwing out T-shirts. And Cody said he heard something pop in his knee, and he could not compete that weekend. He went to a doctor. Evidently, he's going to have some knee surgery after the swelling goes down. The good news is that the MCL, PCL, and ACL appear to be structurally sound. Just going to require a scope to kind of clean up a meniscus, it looks like. He might be out for quite a while. And this is the way it was written, I think, on WrestleZone.com. Watch your back, Mickey Mouse, because Stephanie McMahon wants to tear your ears off and says her goal for the WWE is to become bigger than Disney.
Holy bleep!
And she said it with a straight face. McMahon took part of an interview on Tuesday with CNBC's Elizabeth Schultz at a web summit in Lisbon. And she said in 10 to 20, 30 years from now, she thinks the WWE empire could be bigger than Disney. Yeah, right. Well, that is the end of the news segment of this Turnbuckle Trash. Coming up, my good buddy Zane in a segment we recorded on Thanksgiving morning. That's next on Turnbuckle Trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess I was just trying to take over the world.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
It's a pile of trash.
And now, on this very day, which is Thanksgiving Turkey Day, I invite you to join me in inviting into your home the biggest turkey I know, Mr. Zane Peterson. How you doing, Turkey Zane?
Cheers. Thanks, Dave.
Well, you could say I'm bigger than you, so.
I guess I don't have anything to come back to that on.
But let me tell you.
Let's just burn, man. Just burn and move on. Just like burn like the turkey, man.
What made me think about that is I was watching SmackDown Live, and once again, I will not do any spoilers here, but there was a great segment with the New Day as they're getting ready for their Thanksgiving, how do they get feast fight, the Thanksgiving feast fight. But they're in the ring, and they've got their microphones going, and you know how the New Day is pretty funny.
Well, well, well. Look at this bountiful spread we got here. It can only mean one thing. We are rapidly approaching one of our favorite holidays.
Turkey Day! Come on, Corey. Turkey Day!
That's what brought that on. I was watching that this morning. So we are recording this on Thanksgiving morning. And I want to get a little serious here, Zane. Thank you so much for all your hard work, and basically I want to thank you for being my friend. I should be playing some Andrew Gold music right now, but
Yeah. Really,
you've been a great friend over the years, and I thank you very much for that.
Oh, thanks, Dave, and same back to you. Thank you for being a wonderful, not just a podcast partner, but as well as a wonderful human being and a wonderful friend, and thanks for professional wrestling for allowing us to do this, right?
Oh yeah, we got to thank the guys in that are inside the ring. We've had so much fun over the last couple of years doing this. We like to have fun with it, but also we get into some serious discussions. But today it's Thanksgiving Day. We're going to be having fun. We're going to be discussing just a little bit about the Survivor Series. I think you said you had some questions about ROH, and we're going to talk about the best heels in the business. Yeah, we're talking heels today on Turnbuckle Trash.
Heels, right on the heels of Christmas, aren't we?
Right on the
with
heels.
Thanksgiving's almost over.
Oh, that's great stuff. which one do you want to start with first, my man?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about heels. Now I can't remember why. I mean, I've slept a few nights since the last podcast, but I think we did a we were texting and we were talking about, I don't know if we were talking about The Miz or we were talking about Randy Orton or something, and we're talking about the greatest, you know, I said we should do some little a little segment on heels of professional wrestling.
And what do you, I'm just going to ask you, what do you think makes a good heel?
You know, my favorite, the perfect example of a heel to me is Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that's just slimy, that just cheats to win, you know, anything he can, you know, whether it's the, you know, the brass knuckles in the tights or the, you know, the handful of powder or something in their face, or, you know, just somebody or the manager, or, you know, of the heel that cheats to win, you know, anybody that's just can get right under the crowd's skin, you know?
Well, I thank you for talking about Ric Flair, because I was thinking about Rick the other day, and we're talking about this heel thing. And, you know, it's the kind of guy that he gets the guy in the headlock, right? The headlock, and he's just cranking up. And the good guy, the face, he is actually powering out, and he's about three-quarters of the way of powering out. And then the heel will reach out and either thumb him in the eye or grab a whole bunch of hair and pull him back down or do something the crowd just goes crazy because that stupid referee can't see it. And you don't see that much anymore of that type of move.
Yeah, you really don't. You know, and it's almost sad to say, because we've talked about this. We've had guests on the podcast and we've talked about this before, is the heel is almost a thing of the past, and now they've gone to the anti-hero.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, what happened to the slimy sleazeball heel? It's just, you know, like some people, like, but in my eyes, Brock Lesnar is not a heel.
He's just not a jerk. I mean, he's just somebody we don't like.
Yeah, and he doesn't fit in the heel category. He just is, you know, I don't know.
I don't know if you ever saw Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert very much. Hot Stuff was basically in Memphis. He did some Atlanta wrestling. He had Missy Hyatt with him for a while. They were actually husband and wife. Hot Stuff was so bad of a heel in Memphis. You know, he would do anything to win. And he even, in a spot they did at a TV station parking lot, took his car and ran over Jerry Lawler. And Jerry got a little injured. You know, he got banged up a little bit. But people in Memphis were calling the police station to go investigate this hit and run that was taking place at the station. It was amazing.
Well, and I remember back in the Memphis days, that there was times when those heels were so slimy that they were sometimes people out in public would, like, threaten them and pull knives on them and stuff like that, because they were so, so bad. And they're like, whoa, it's such a character.
You know? Man. Yeah, there was lots of incidences where I'm trying to remember who I was watching, but there was a wrestler that was a heel that actually got stabbed. Not really bad, but after a heel spot in the ring where he won, as he's going back through the crowd, somebody had a knife and stabbed him.
Yeah.
But it was more of a superficial wound. So, you know, when you get that kind of heat, or you can cause some near riots or riot situations, that is what a real heel is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about some of who's Dave's. I don't know. What do you have some favorite heels of all time in the life and times of Dave Denton?
Well, I go back to who we first started as the best heel in the business, the dirtiest player in the game, Nature Boy Ric Flair. He would do anything to win.
Yeah.
And then anything outside of the ring he wanted to do.
You know, it's somebody that comes to my mind when that I don't think gets near enough credit in the industry as a whole and as a sleaze bag, is the Million Dollar Man. Everybody has a price.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted DiBiase, he was a great heel.
You know, Ted DiBiase, ring psychology, you want to talk about great promos and great ring psychology. That he did a lot for the business too in the nostalgia era that I don't think he gets enough credit for.
There's a great video out there of Ted where he offers a young child in the audience money to do something, and then the kid does it and he takes the money away from him and the crowd went bananas. I thought Ted was going to be killed that day taking that money away from that child, but at least the child didn't have to get these hands like they did during WrestleMania this year.
Jeez.
And remember, Ted DiBiase stepped on my hand. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. You were doing some ringside announcing at a local event.
Yeah. In Cottonport, Louisiana, it was.
Wow.
And there was a table, and I was right next to the ring. I mean, the table and the ring touched together. Ted fell out of the ring, knocked out of the ring, and when he got up, he stepped on my hand, and man, I thought I'd broken my fingers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet him at all?
I just said hi to him. That was it. They didn't let me go backstage to meet the guys, so. But we had a good time, so.
You know, and some other slimy heels of the day. I don't know. Let's take it back to some early days, you know, like some of those guys like Terry Funk and them too. I mean, he was known as a kind of a sleazeball in his day, wasn't he?
Yeah, Terry Funk, he was one of those heels that would come in as the bad guy, as the heel, and he would beat up the top star in that area, and they would do a little feud for a while. Now, I base a lot of my history of wrestling on Memphis wrestling because that's what I grew up with. There is a very famous match that was actually kind of recreated on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood recently, the Empty Stadium match with Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler. Funk was out there in the ring saying Lawler wouldn't meet him without the crowd being there to be behind him, and they were all filming this, and it's a very good video if you want to check it out on YouTube. You can do that. And then Lawler comes out, and he's all dressed up like the king. He's got his crown on and all that, and they fight all over that arena in the Mid-South Coliseum with nobody there, running into chairs, being thrown into chairs. And then something happens where Lawler, doing his little heel bit, you know, he could be a good heel. He poked Funk in the eye, or Funk somehow got poked in the eye, and Funk actually gave up because he was injured because Jerry Lawler, that scumbag, took his eye out. It was priceless. But Terry Funk was a great heel. And another one you want to go back to is Dick the Bruiser. I don't know if you've ever seen much Dick the Bruiser stuff. Dick the Bruiser was mainly in the Midwest. I remember him from visiting my uncle in St. Louis, and I actually saw Dick the Bruiser in one of my first wrestling matches I ever went to. He was one of those big, burly guys that would come to the ring, and he would do anything to hurt the face. He was one of those that caused riots when he took on people like Jack Briscoe or he took on Lou Thesz or some of the faces of the day. But Dick the Bruiser was a great heel. He was big. I mean, he was just a big, burly, I'm going to take you out. The closest thing I can come to him, what he looks like today, that Dick the Bruiser was probably in better shape, is somebody like the Beer City Bruiser on ROH.
So let's fast forward a little bit.
Okay.
You know, we've talked a little bit about I hope I get my terms right. You know, I just call it the nostalgia era. I don't know if that's what the real name for it is. You know, when Hulk Hogan, you know, you had Jake the Snake, you know, true ring psychology right there. You know, he was good. Just, I don't know if he would be considered a heel as much as just kind of a bad guy, you know, just kind of a BA, you know. Uh-huh. And then the Honky Tonk Man, of course, he was everybody just hated him, didn't they?
Oh, they did. They did.
They just hated him. And, you know, so you fast forward a little bit more. And what are we, WCW 1998-ish, I would imagine? you probably know where I'm leading into this. The greatest, probably one of the best heel turns of all time. Why don't you take it from there?
Well,
is it 1996? Yeah, probably around there.
I think you're talking about when the Outsiders showed up at the WCW, and they kept on talking about one more member. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a bash at the beach where they revealed who that other member was in a match where Hulk Hogan turned on Randy Savage in a tag match. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that is still one of the greatest. You know, when Hogan comes out there and he points at Kevin Nash and he's like, you know, no, you guys, the crowd's going nuts because he's going to – it was Randy Savage and Sting were tag teaming.
Yeah.
And Hogan was going to come out and rescue him because the Outsiders were just going to town on him. And then he turns and gives the old atomic leg drop to Randy Savage and then stands in the middle of the ring. And I mean, that ring was so full of garbage at the end of the night.
And I think it was so Mean Gene Okerlund when he was interviewing him and asking him why. He had to dodge a full bottle of water that was thrown, and it almost hit him. And I think a couple of them were hit by debris that was thrown in. That was the best heel turn ever. It really was.
It really was, you know. And then let's talk about the most abused heel turn of all time.
Okay.
Somebody that turns heel and turns face about as often as Dave changes underwear. The Big Show.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
You never know. You never know if he's a good guy or a bad guy from week to week.
And you know what's really funny about that is recently when he's turned heel and he's been working with The Bar, The New Day made that very comment on one of the SmackDown Live TV shows that you just didn't know which way he was going to be from one day to another. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. So we've gone through some older stuff. We've gone through the nostalgia, WCW days. We had, you know, some pretty good, you know, heat with the NWO. And then of course we fast forward and it gets worse and they just destroy the company. And then we fast forward a little bit more until we get like, you know, Batista, you know, I would say he was an excellent heel.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we start getting into now, modern days.
Well, before we get into modern, I guess this is kind of modern days, the late Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, man, yeah. I guess we could flash. Let's rewind. Go back to WCW.
Okay.
Early
2000s. When Eddie was a heel and he was doing the lie, cheat, steal, anything, I thought that was, you know, that was being a good heel. But all of a sudden, the people started getting into it. And he was actually a heel who became one of those anti-heroes we were talking about.
You know, and another one during that time, too, who was an excellent heel was The Rock.
Yes.
And then, like you said, people started getting into him, you know, trash-talking and jabroni and this and that. And then all of a sudden, you know, people started liking that. But, okay. Anything else while we're rewound in the mid 2000s, or are we fast forwarding again?
I think we'll fast forward again.
Fast forward. You know, you can insert something there about fast forwarding. Insert a little fast forward sound effects there. And today, we all know who the best heel is right now, and in dare I say all of everything right now. I know who I would say. Tell me who you say.
The Miz.
Absolutely. Agreed 100%. See, Dave, without AJ on the podcast, we kind of should agree on something. Dividing us.
I'm going to tell. Oh, that's awesome.
See, was that a heel move right there?
That was a heel move right there. You're the best heel on this podcast, Zane.
So right now, you know, and we've got The Miz, obviously, just the best heel, I think, you know, and man, I love that when Maurice, the last couple of years when Maurice has been out there with him and helping him win. And man, that's just been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think when you have that persona of someone like The Miz, who shouldn't win. I mean, you look at him against some of these big, strong, burly guys. How does he win? The ring psychology is there to make him such a great heel. And he is, and I think you and I will agree, The Miz is completely underappreciated for his wrestling ability. I've seen him have great, great matches.
Yeah. You know, and even when I, you know, that match at WrestleMania was like 33 or something with him and John Cena for the WWE Championship. Dude, that was a good match, and that was a good lead up too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they worked that for a good solid year, you know. And I don't know, that was a great match. Had some serious high spots in it, and that match really still sticks out in my mind is one of his best matches, and you know, to go toe to toe with Daniel Bryan, and you know Daniel Bryan, and he's so known for his ring work and the way he, you know, his submissions and this and that, and dude, The Miz, and Daniel didn't have to carry him one bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two put on some excellent matches, and he's good, dude. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I think The Miz, his work in the past 3 years has been as good or better than 98% of those out there. The Miz. And speaking of Daniel Bryan, you know, he's got a heel turn that recently happened.
Yeah, that's I think that kind of leads me into our next segment, Dave. Wow, how did you time that so well?
Because I am a radio professional.
Wow.
I know how to do those kind of things. That's why I get paid the not-so-big bucks.
Well, you know, Dave, you are the best in the world at what you do.
Yes. Yes, I am.
You're like practically famous in Cache Valley.
Almost.
Almost famous. Almost.
People look and say, who are you again? I'll say, Dave Denton. They'll go, oh.
You say,
no, I get recognized quite often.
So Dr. Dave, and they say, oh, Dr. Dave. They say, oh, well, you don't look anything like how you sound.
Yeah, yeah. You have the perfect face for radio.
Exactly, don't they? Yeah. I was a little bit, when I first met you at the radio station, I was like, you know, here comes this big dude walking out and hands me a free gift certificate to Plant Peddler Floral, and I was like, oh, that's Dave and Dr. Dave in the morning and on Cool 103.9. Okay, nice to see you, Dave. You felt bad because you gave away my prize to somebody else.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, you jerk.
I hate myself.
Remember it was like the first time I ever met Dave.
Oh.
Moving on. Pull her back on track here, Dave. Pull her back on track. Special Thanksgiving Day podcast, and Dave's off talking about the Valentines, and you're getting a little ahead of yourself.
Okay,
Dave.
Thank you.
So, good segment on heels there, by the way, Dave.
Thank you.
Much underappreciated. So many people out there are such great heels. So let's we beat the fast forward thing to death. So, what would you say next?
Let's move on to another segment.
Let's move on to another segment now. Insert break here.